All right. Good morning out there in Radio Land to all of our friends, family, listeners, everyone. We are just blessed to be here with you all, and this is the day that the Lord has made, so we will rejoice and be glad in it here on this radio program this morning. So again, this is Hannah, and we have Brother Rick on with us this morning. Thank the Lord. How are you, Brother Rick?
Praise God. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
Great day. Good day to be a Christian and Amen. A good day to be alive.
Amen. And we still have Roger in here. We're thankful for Roger producing for us this week. And just the whole crew here and all of our listeners, because you all make the mornings, you know, this is all of us growing together. We're studying together. We're learning about the Lord. And so we're thankful for you. We want to honor you. Especially our listeners who are constant. You listen with us every single morning. So, and we do want to continue to pray for Pastor Aaron, though. I'm not sure when exactly they're heading back, but I know it's sometime soon. They'll be traveling. So just, we ask you to pray that, the Lord would just protect them and be with them as they travel. And we just lift them up to the Lord and pray a hedge of protection around them. And we will be excited for him to be back with us. But I think it's been a good week. I've enjoyed getting to have kind of different co-hosts that we don't normally have on. And it's been a good week. And hopefully you all have received something from the Lord this week. I know that I have, so I'm sure everybody has, but I appreciate the interaction too. And again, my number is 270-589-7933. I know a lot of you normally text Pastor Aaron to send in Bible questions, interact, things like that. But there's my number, 270-589-7933, and that's how you can interact today with the broadcast. So we do have some events coming up here. It is just coming right around the corner, the Bethel Women's Spring Tea. That is May 18th, Saturday at noon, and it is here for all ladies. It's not exclusive to ladies here at Bethel, and I already know of a few ladies that are coming from other churches. So that's going to be a really good time, and you can bring your daughters, your granddaughters, nieces, friends, whoever. It's for everybody, and Miss Crystal Taylor is going to be giving a word of encouragement. So there will be tea and devotion, and lunch will be provided. So that's here in the Bethel Multipurpose Building, May 18th at noon. And then we also have that I Am Tent Revival coming up, and that will be Monday, June the 3rd through June the 9th, 7 p.m. nightly. And we do have that on our app. For some reason, my picture, I'll have to re-upload the picture onto there, and it has more detailed information, and I will do that today. But that is coming up, and that will be Brother Christopher and Sister Tasha. They're going to be leading that tent revival, but there's going to be some other ministers there as well. There will be Brother Whitney Ward, Brother Chris McGuffin, Brother Billy Curl, and Brother Jeremy Paul. So it's going to be a great time of worship and just seeing the Lord move, praying for souls to be saved, revival to break out. And that, if for any more information on this, you can text 270-735-6516. And they do say, bring a chair. So hopefully there is just an overflow of people at that. Amen. So let's see here. Next, we have another revival coming up in Litchfield. That one will be June the 4th through the 15th, and that's also 7 p.m. nightly. So this one will be going on at the same time as the one in Eastview. The I Am Tent Revival will be in Eastview. And let's see here. This one, it will be in Litchfield again, right across, right where the bypass is, right across from the hospital there in Litchfield. It will be on the other side of the road there on the William Thompson Byway. And there will be Zach Capps there, Clifton Potter, and Mike Faree. So going to be a blessed time there. And I'm just thankful for all of these, you know, ministers kind of going and stretching, literally stretching their tents out in other areas. So I'm believing for good things there in Litchfield and in Eastview. And then we also have an announcement for the Heritage Messengers in concert. They will be at Memorial Chapel Church of God on Saturday, June the 8th at 6 p.m. So that's 43 Church of God Road, Custer, Kentucky. And that will be at Memorial Chapel Church of God. And you can contact Pastor Mike Biggs at 270-418-9275. So that's all of our announcements for this morning. If you all have any other announcements for us to get out there, you can let me know. And normally people do that. You can do it via Facebook, text, seeing us in person. However, we want to be able to get the word out for those things. And then also, Art in the Park will be on May 18th as well. So I don't want to forget to get the word about that out there. That'll be kind of going on all day. So you can come to the women's tea, and then after the tea, go and spend some time in the park and support the Grayson County Alliance there that distributes food to so many people in our county. And it'll just be a great time of art and music, and there'll be picnics and craft tables for kids. And it will just be a great event there in Litchfield, right there at the city park, that main James Beville Park. So that is all of our announcements this week, this morning for the week. And we will move into our Daniel study. Thank you, Miss Lisa. She's sending an encouraging word. I appreciate that. And we appreciate you, Miss Lisa. We appreciate you being a consistent listener, and you all make the broadcast a lot more fun. So, and awesome co-hosts like Brother Rick. So, well, we will turn now to Daniel chapter 9, verse 11. So we kind of left off yesterday. We wrapped up talking about Daniel and his repentance, even though, you know, we look at Daniel's life and he lived a very honorable life. He still included himself in this repentance for the nation. So he kind of is praying and just appealing to the Lord, repenting in verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. And talks about how the nation as a whole had not obeyed the voice of the Lord, had not walked in his laws that was set before them, not only by the law, but also by the Lord's servants and the prophets, which would include Daniel. But he's even repenting on behalf, you know, as we talked about, a true leader should want to repent. Amen. On behalf of the people, because a leader should love the people and should not think of themselves more highly than the people.
Right.
And we see that with Daniel just time and time again, this culture of honor that he established everywhere he went, the humility. And I think it's a very good example for leaders.
Amen.
To follow after. So in verse 11, I will go ahead and read that. And then we'll see where this goes this morning, Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we just pray before we get into this word, Lord, that you would just anoint the words, just clear our minds, help us to be able to receive what we need to receive from your word. I pray that every listener, Lord, that they would receive a revelation, not from us, but from you, Lord, that you would just awaken those things that are in them, Lord, the word that's alive in them, and make these things just so clear to us, and let it feed our souls this morning as we feast on your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so verse 11, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned and we have done wickedly. So I'll go ahead and read through 16 and then we'll stop there. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become as a reproach to all that are about us. So this is still going on with this prayer, this repentant prayer that is going on here. But I do want to go back to verse 11 because this is something that I was thinking pretty deeply about just with Jerusalem.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he talks about all of Israel has transgressed the law, even by departing that they might not obey the voice. Therefore, the curse. So it talks about a curse that was poured upon Israel and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, because we have sinned against God. And then he goes on to talk about how for under the whole heaven, which we've talked about this before on the broadcast, that many times when heaven is mentioned, it means the earth.
Yes.
And I believe that in this instance, it would be talking about under the whole earth,
uh-huh.
Across the whole earth, hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. So the things that have been... the evil that has been poured out on Jerusalem has
right.
not been poured out on any other nation. But we also see that when it's evil, it's correction. Because we've
right.
been talking about how the Lord used the Assyrians as a rod of correction. He used the different nations. He used these, you know, the Babylonians. He allowed them to capture them.
Amen.
And it was, for correction because they kept rejecting. They kept... kind of stumbling and falling and turning their hearts away from him. But I was talking about this with Ethan the other day. It's so amazing to me, and I think Bruce actually hit on this too on Wednesday night, that the Lord honors his servant so much and the covenant that he makes with them that he's willing to put up with. Now, when I say put up with, he does not excuse sin.
No.
He corrects and he punishes. But he's willing to have mercy and extend that grace to people who really aren't close to him.
Right.
Because of that covenant he made with Abraham. Because of that covenant, because of that relationship that he had with David. Bruce actually touched on that on Wednesday, talked about how... the Lord was, you know, David was a man after God's own heart.
Right.
And he had such an intimate relationship with David. And because of that, he had more mercy on Solomon, not more mercy than David, but he had mercy on Solomon. He had mercy on his bloodline and
yes.
allowed his bloodline to be the bloodline that Jesus was, you
right.
know, was born out of. And I just think that's amazing because you really don't see that same relationship with any of the, you know, with Solomon.
No.
And you don't see that relationship with a lot of the descendants of Abraham. So it's just amazing to me that the Lord is that consistent and that faithful.
Amen.
Based on that promise from so many years ago.
Yes.
And it's because he never changes. And also, like, to me, it's like, oh my gosh, it's been so long. But to God, you know, yes, he understands that we... Like, he understands how time affects us,
uh-huh.
but that doesn't affect him.
That's right.
He transcends the time. It's not making things hard on him. I mean, he's holy. He's righteous. It's just that he has a purpose.
Yes.
And he wants that purpose to be carried out by us. So that's why he does get grieved.
Right.
That's why, I mean, he hates sin because he knows sin is separating the creation from him.
Right.
But it's just amazing to me that although this curse is poured out on the people, judgment's poured out, but all of this was not to harm them, it was for their good.
Amen.
Because his word says, the plans that I have for you, Jeremiah, are not to harm you, but to prosper you.
That's right. And yeah, and Daniel, when we're getting in here, Daniel knows all of that, and he knew about all the blessings that God had already done for Israel. And as a matter of fact, I mean, he remembers when you go up and the scriptures that you had read yesterday or this week, you know, it starts talking about, well, God, you've brought us out of Israel. You've done all these things for us. And then he knew even from, you know, starting out with David and Solomon, you know, the blessings that went on there for over 80 years. That God had peace basically there after, well, peace in Solomon's time for 40 years, and that David was blessed as a king, and how he had set up that dominion from that point on to be, like you said, the lineage of Christ.
Yeah.
However, Daniel is mentioning all these things, but at the same time, he remembers, Lord, we had all these good things. And now all of a sudden you're trying to bring us back to you. So now we're going through problems. Yeah. Now we're facing situations. And, you know, sometimes people will say that, well, God's sure pouring a whole lot out on me. Now, most of the time we've done it ourselves, and that's what happened here.
Mm-hmm.
Israel had sinned. They had did things that God told them not to do.
Yeah.
And that's why they find themselves in Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And they're facing these different slavery and all the things that's going on in their lives. And they've been taken away from their home. Well, when we do wrong and we go away from God, as with the prodigal son, sometimes we find ourselves at the hog pen.
Yeah.
And we have to come to ourselves. And so Daniel's praying about this, and he recognizes that. I also think that as Daniel's talking about these things and he's been praying, he realizes, you know, well, I'm part of a country.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he was saying, you know, Lord, forgive me also, you know,
yeah.
Putting himself in that position. You hear a lot of leaders today, especially, they want to blame it on everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But we as a country have, Daniel's saying, have sinned. And I believe today that when we look at our country, we have sinned. When we wonder why things are going the way they are in our nation and things like that, we were a blessed nation. And we're still a blessed nation compared to other nations. But when we look around, we have to take responsibility for our parts. Am I always faithful to God? Do I always do what I'm supposed to do? Am I striving to do my best?
Mm-hmm.
If we can't answer things about ourselves, which we should judge ourselves, then we understand that some of the things that we're going through in our lives is my fault.
Yeah. Without a doubt. And we see how the Lord uses everything. Like he allows things.
Yes.
To sharpen us. Or, you know, he allowed that thorn in Paul's flesh.
Yes.
To buffet him, to actually grow him and help him to be humble. And, you know, and I think that's part of, like, he's not choosing this for us. He would have loved it if we would just do the right thing and choose
the
right path, but he's going to allow it because if the fact that we're choosing that path shows that there's something in us that needs to be refined.
Right.
And changed. Right. And so I love how the beautiful picture of how he just uses it all for are good.
Amen.
Like, we get ourselves in the mess. So
yes, we do.
We can't blame the Lord. They couldn't blame the Lord for the decisions. I mean, the Lord was merciful. Like, he gave us the instructions. He's laid it all out for us, and yet we still choose to just not do it.
That's right.
And that was the same with them, was, you know, they were choosing, they let pride creep in. It always starts with the head, so
yeah.
It always would start with the king. It would
yeah.
always start with the judge, the leader. And then it would just trickle down, and people would get, you know, people would just get burnt out and they would lose sight, they would lose focus. But even when they had, I mean, with Moses, now, not that Moses was perfect. We right. see Moses had flaws. I mean, he was disobedient.
Yes.
Eventually. But even when he was, like, literally on the mountaintop with the Lord, like, mountaintop moment, literally, on the mountain, talking with the Lord in the glory, the people were, you know, you would think with a leader that was, you know, having such encounters with the Lord like that, that uh-huh. the people would follow behind. Like, the people would be more, I don't know, stay in line, I guess. But right. even then, with a leader that was seeking after God's face, I mean, the people were still wicked. Like, they were still making idols. And
yeah.
But also, that could have been, had to do with, you know, being separated and not having that unity. Because that is something that I see. Like, even in, you know, with Daniel's, in Daniel's time, I mean, the Babylonians, they tried to assimilate them into their culture.
Yes.
And they tried to divide them and keep them away from, you know, each other. So yes. That shows us, too, that, yes, we need the leadership to be right, but if the people would humble themselves and mm-hmm. pray and fast and turn from the wicked ways, then the Lord said he would heal our land. He
yes.
said, if my people, he didn't say if all the leaders
yes.
would do
that's
that.
That's right.
So even though it does start, I mean, problems tend to start with the head and trickle down, it doesn't have to stay that way.
No, it doesn't. And we have to remember, too, when God forgives us from sin, we understand that God's, when he puts that away as far as the east is from the west.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people say, well, if God forgave me and now I've got the right relationship with God, why am I facing the consequences of my sin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're facing the consequences of your sin, and that's what happened to Israel here. They're facing the consequences of the sin of the nation.
Yeah.
And but they're facing this, and what happens is God has forgiven us, but the results of our sin as far as our lives, if you have if you've committed such things in your life before you got saved and you received a jail sentence, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Lord has forgiven you, but the judge hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
You still got to face the consequences of what brought you to that position. And then I feel like God uses that then, just like he was here in Israel, to turn back to him. The whole thing that David is praying about, and that, I mean, Daniel's praying about, and that he understands what God is doing, is God is trying to turn a nation back to him.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't one man who's going through this. This yeah. is a nation who's going through this, that they will turn back to the Lord. And we can't look at Israel and say, oh, man, they shouldn't have really messed up. They really done wrong. Man, I have done wrong,
yeah.
and I receive the just rewards that I received because of the consequences of what I have done in the past, and that's what's going on here. Daniel's he's bringing it back to the Lord. Lord, I know where you've brought us from, where we're at right now, God, and I'm asking God for some relief up in here. I'm needing help.
Yeah. That's so good. That's so true, and I think that we can even take this into forgiveness, like when we've
yes.
sinned against another person, you know, a lot of times, you know, well, the Lord, he's faithful and he's just to forgive our sin right then
yes.
and there. And I think we take that for granted, that we have a God that immediately will forgive us when we humble ourselves. But a person isn't always going to be there to, they might not be ready to forgive immediately.
Exactly.
The person that we've sinned against.
Yes.
And I don't know about you all, but whenever I sin against someone or I do something wrong to someone, it like eats away at me to know, you know, I just want everything to be, after I apologize, everything to just be great. But we have to be able to have that humility and that patience too, to see, okay, like the Lord forgave my sin, but that consequence of what I did,
yes,
that's gonna, I have to be willing, I have to be ready to face that and walk through that and trust the Lord that he's gonna get me through it.
Yes.
But I can't expect or put something on someone else that, well, you need to be, you need to be forgiving me right now because I did this, because that's where pride can come in. And yeah, that just reminded me of that too. I mean, we see that throughout the scripture with Joseph. I mean,
yes,
he technically didn't, you know, commit the sins that everybody was saying that he committed, but he still got himself in a, he was in a bad environment, bad situation, and he still faced consequences of that lack of wisdom. And I think we've talked about that on here.
Sure.
But yeah, that's true.
There's so young, there's young people who's went through things in their life. There's kids come from broken homes and abuse and things like that. They didn't ask for this. You know, none of this is their fault. All right. And that's the way maybe some of these were here. However, I would come from a home that was not good. And went, you know, and I don't like to go back there, but I know where God has brought me from and brought me to. And through all of those hardships that I faced back then, that's why I'm where I'm at now, is because I turned to the Lord. I realized the only one that I could ever turn to that I could trust was the Lord God, and that Jesus had died for my sins and paid all the price. And so I have forgotten that.
Mm-hmm.
That may be a memory, but it's not a harmful memory, because I look back at all those times and I think, God, you have blessed me through it all.
Amen.
And that's kind of where, why Daniel's praying for this. God, we need you. We're repenting. We have a repenting heart. We're trying to get to that place, and he's repenting for Israel and wanting God's grace in all of this. And I believe, too, you see in here as Daniel's repentant heart, what God does for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we could learn a lot from Daniel and seeing his repentance, even though he may not have been the one that done wrong. He still was part of that country. But God used him because of the humbleness, the humility, and taking responsibility and saying, look, I'm wrong, God.
Yeah. That's so good. I think we can use that, take that principle to our families.
Yes.
To our friendships, our workplace.
Yes.
I mean, even if we're not the ones maybe doing the same things, There's always some way, even if it's a feeling that we're having towards people.
Yes.
I believe there's usually some way that we can repent over something.
Yes.
You know, and even just being a part of that family, being a part of that, saying, Lord, like, I know that my heart has been made right with you, but I love my family and I want to repent on behalf of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm ready to see you move, and I'm speaking those things that aren't as though they are. And I do. I think we could learn that from Daniel. We really could. That humility to say, you know what? We don't have it. We might be Paul. I mean, Paul was still having, he said, if anybody could boast, it would be me, but I'm going to keep sharing my testimony. I'm going to keep humbling myself. And we could just learn that. We could. We are at our break, though, and we did start like a few minutes later, so we're not really that far past our break. But we will go ahead and read that trivia question. Friday question number one, sponsored by, let's see here, sponsored by Farm Bureau Insurance. Who raised the question about whether there was flavor in the white of an egg? Who raised the question about whether there was flavor in the white of an egg? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break.
Just want to remember God.
Lift him up. All right, we are back here after that break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio. Do we have an answer for that, Roger? This one was an interesting question. But man, Brother Denny, he got it right immediately. Him or Gerald, one of them.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't me either.
Who was it? Tim Milburn. He got in there. So that answer was, what was it, Brother Denny?
Job.
Yep. It was Job. Job 6:6. Who raised the question about whether there was flavor in the white of an egg? Yeah. Job 6:6 is where you can find
it. I've seen that scripture for a long time. As a matter of fact, the last few days I've ran into that again. So it was familiar with me.
It was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
Preparing you. That's good. Well, how are you guys doing?
Doing fine myself.
Right. I'm doing all right. Yeah, I'm doing good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Joy of the Lord is here this morning. And so this is normally the Kingdom Corner time, but I did want to read something that the Lord, that I was just thinking about actually when I was studying Daniel, preparing for one of these days of this week. And I was just thinking of how awesome God is, and how he is so sovereign and uses everything. He doesn't waste anything.
That's right.
He truly does take what the enemy meant for evil and turns it for good. And it really is a reflection back on how perfect of a creator he is. So this was something that I wrote. Hopefully, I actually haven't read back through this. I just jotted it down in my notes. So hopefully the grammar and everything is good on it. But so here's what it says. So even the people who reject God and are considered an abomination to him are still serving a purpose. God uses them to fulfill his ultimate plan of restoring creation. This is a further confirmation that God never fails and is a perfect creator. Even the abominations successfully fulfill a purpose, even if it wasn't the purpose he would have wanted for them to fulfill.
Right.
And sadly, this isn't that purpose that he had hoped or wanted for them, but they chose something else. But this is not a reflection of God's failure. All creation will serve a purpose before the end of time. Judas, Satan, the Antichrist, all of them, they will serve a purpose. So their lack or their mistakes are not a reflection on God, because he created them with the ability to serve that ultimate purpose of righteousness, but they chose something else. But it was just, I was thinking really deeply in the fact that they're still serving a purpose. Like, they are still accomplishing something. Even, Esau went on to be a great nation, even though that's not what God would have wanted. But it's just a reflection of how perfect God is, that his creation is able to fulfill a purpose.
That's right.
And even, it brings us back to the idea of his goodness, of how people who are never going to choose him. I hate to even think about people who are dying and going to hell and never going to choose him. But even them, they can't say that God was never good to them, because they got to share in the blessing of sunshine while they were alive. They got to share in the blessing of so many things that God allowed them to have in this world. And so this is a little bit of a deeper thought, but it was just something that the Lord, he was just showing me his righteousness and his perfection, I guess, is what I was thinking on the other night. So but we would pray, and Jesus is interceding that all would come to know him. And we know that there are creation, Satan, the Antichrist, there's been many who have rose up in that spirit, and we know where their destination was. Well, I guess technically we don't, if we weren't there with them when they died. But from all the fruit in their life, these people like Hitler, different ones that, were operating in the spirit of the Antichrist. We know that when you continue on that path, where your destination is.
Yeah.
But it's not just people who, commit sin that we see as so great. It's even people who, are like the rich man who couldn't let go. He had such a grip on the love of this world that he couldn't let that go. But then we also see people, like all kinds of people throughout the Bible, that had major flaws. And so many people that aren't Christians sometimes ask, well, didn't that David guy, didn't he do a lot of bad things and yet he was still a Christian? Yes, because he had a repentant heart and he had a relationship with Jesus. So when he fell, he got back up and he accepted that. He humbled himself before the Lord. He repented for his sins.
Yes.
And it's just the beauty of the gospel that the Lord would have that all men would come to repentance, would come to know him, would be transformed, and he is the author and finisher of our faith. It's not ourself.
Amen.
So Amen. We don't have to, this thing isn't resting on our shoulders. Now, because we have our freedom, now it's our responsibility and our acceptable service to give him our life and to worship him and obey him. But it's just good news, and that good news is available for everyone. Just like Brother Rick was saying earlier, no matter what our circumstance has been growing up, no matter what we've walked through, there's still hope.
Yes.
Because the only true trustworthy person is Jesus.
Amen.
In this life, in this eternity, it's Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
So, do you all have anything this morning?
Oh, just thinking about, you know, sometimes when someone is real ill and they're about ready to pass away, and somebody said, well, I think it'd be the best thing for you. And I want to say, not if you're not saved, it's not the best thing for you. You
That's
need to get
right.
right, you know.
Amen.
Yes.
God gives us a chance, but I heard people say that. I've been in the waiting room and heard people say, well, she'd be better off just to go ahead and pass away. I'm thinking, as long as there's life, I look at it this way, as long as there's life, there's hope.
Amen.
As long as you got a breath, there's hope. Mm-hmm. And after that last breath, there's no hope if you're not, if you're not prepared to go.
That's
Amen.
Right.
You're not going to make it.
That's Amen. Right.
Yeah.
So I hate it when they say that, you know, you'd be better off. No.
No.
You would be if you were ready to go, that's for sure.
Amen.
The scripture says we're better off dead. He said to weep at birth and laugh or be happy
Rejoice,
at death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you would be, but if you're not prepared,
if
you're not ready.
Amen.
No.
Yeah, I believe that would be a lie from the enemy, a definite lie from the enemy trying to convince someone that they would be better off. Because then he has them. He's devoured them really easy at that point.
Yeah.
Amen.
So. You know, it's tough when you wait till that time, and so many people think, well, I'll wait till the end and then repent. I'll wait till the very last moment and then I'll repent. Well, what if you're taken out in a car wreck and you haven't had time to repent? You haven't had time to ask God to forgive you and come in your heart.
Yeah.
You know, then it's too late.
That's Jonathan Kahn's testimony.
Uh-huh.
That he told the Lord that, you know, he's going to live life. And then right before he died, he's going to get right. And then that train hit his little Pinto car.
Oh,
destroyed.
Yeah.
And he said, maybe I better rethink this thing.
Technically, it's not up to you. It's up to God.
Yeah. Amen.
God, is God going to be there to draw you on
there
that time, you,
go. You
see? If Amen. I be lifted up, he said, I'll draw all men.
Amen.
You don't just decide you're going to
turn
to come
yeah.
to God. But it comes through conviction.
Yes.
God convicts you.
Right.
I went to a baptism just a few weeks ago of a guy I used to work with that got saved. He's up in his probably 60s.
Right.
And he was telling me about his conversion. It sounded a whole lot like me. You know, mm-hmm. I was convicted, first of all.
Yes. Right.
And then I
yes.
repented, and
right.
I got converted. So
right.
it's not up to you necessarily. It's up to God. So
uh-huh.
when God convicts you, and then you say, well, Lord, I'm a sinner, and, you know, you can
right.
get saved.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So I wouldn't want to wait to think it would be up to me.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
And I'd choose the day when I would get saved. Because,
no.
No.
Right.
You might have waited too late.
Right. Well, I really honestly don't remember being convicted before the day I got saved. But, you know, I was going to kill myself at 6 o'clock. And a man on the job told me that Jesus loved me. Well, at that point, 28 years old, the only thing I knew for sure about God, if there was one, I hated him. And that's where I was at in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I had planned it out the night before. I was going to kill myself about a year before that, and it didn't work out. I got found out. uh-huh. and it didn't work out. So I knew I couldn't let nobody know nothing.
Right.
If I was going to do it, I had to do it, you know.
Right.
And so I loaded my gun, had everything ready. I was going to go to work, quit regular time about 5 o'clock, take me an hour to get home. And whenever I quit work, I'd go and buy me a pint of whiskey, take about an hour to get home, drink it on the way home. And then when I got home, I was going to walk in, and my back door was going to blow my brains out.
Yeah.
But a man on the job that I had worked with quite a bit, I installed ceramic tile for a living, and he did wood trim on new houses. You know, in a subdivision, a lot of times the contractor would build one house right after another. So we had worked on the same job quite a few times, and he had talked to me about the Lord, and he always had his radio on, Christian radio, and sometimes he'd work and wouldn't eat, and I thought, man, it's crazy, you know, probably fasting for me.
Yeah.
But this particular day, I always had a helper before, but this particular day, my bosses needed my helper, and they took him with them the day I was going to kill myself and sent me on a job with this guy, Brother Dave Conway. He's in heaven now. I better not talk about him much. I'll get emotional and won't be able to talk. But I was putting tile in the bathroom, and he come to the door and talked to me for a little bit, and then he'd go back to work doing trim work. He did wood trim. So, but he made this statement. He said, Gerald, Jesus Christ really loves you, and he can change your life. Well, the Holy Spirit, like a dagger, stuck at my heart, and I couldn't get it out of my mind. So sometime in the middle of the afternoon, I'm an old redneck. I ain't going to let that man hear me pray. So just on the inside of me, I made this statement. I said, God, I don't even know if you're real, but if you're real and you're as big as he says you are and you're as good as he says you are and you love me as much as he says you do, I said, you could prove it. I said, you prove to me you love me, my life is yours. I'll go where you want me to go and I'll do what you want me to do. And what I asked the Lord to do, I didn't stop and get to whiskey.
Right.
And when I walked in my back door, I knew nothing about the Spirit of God, but I knew God did what I asked him to do.
Yes.
So I called this guy up and said, I'd like to know more about this Jesus guy. Come talk to you. And I went sit down at this guy's table. And of course, he said, Gerald, you need to repent. I said, well, I know that. I mean, he knew I was a drunk and my life was a mess. And then he said, I said, I've already done that. I'm sorry for every rotten thing I've ever done, you know. And he said, well, you need to be born again. I said, born again? What's born again? I ain't never heard of born again. And he explained to me if I'd repent of my sin, ask the Lord Jesus forgive me, and to come into my life, I'd be born again. And that's what I did. I said, you know, I didn't even know how to pray or what to pray. And he just led me in a simple prayer.
Yes.
Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Please come in my heart and be the Lord of my life. And,
yes.
And in that instant, you know, everybody's been born again knows exactly what I'm talking about. And
yes.
I knew that my sins were gone. That God loved me. If I died, I'd go straight to heaven.
Amen.
So, 49 years ago.
Yeah, praise God.
Praise God.
It's that measure of faith, isn't it?
Yeah, but see, I didn't even believe in God. Such a thing as conviction, you know. But
right.
Man, whenever I asked him to do that, and he did what I asked him to do, it just blew my mind. I mean,
Amen.
Jesus really does love me. You know, I just couldn't believe it. And man,
praise
I wanted
God.
To learn all I could learn. So.
Amen.
Yeah, and from that day to this, I'm still trying to learn.
So. Yeah, me too.
Praise God.
Amen. Aren't you thankful that any plans that we have for ourselves, I believe it's Proverbs that says, you know, the Lord directs our paths. That
yes.
Even though you wanted to, you know, to do that and to be done, the Lord, he wasn't just going to let you give up that easy. He was going to reach after you. He was going to draw you. He had a plan. And you know, yes, it's our choice to surrender. We have that choice whether to surrender or not. But when you feel the love of God like that, when you encounter him, how can you not?
Amen.
Isn't that the truth? How can you not?
How can you?
That's a good statement.
When you really experience him, I mean, the woman at the well, we see all these stories. The woman caught in the act of adultery, the disciples being called. I mean, people probably were very shocked that they were the ones that were being, you know, were following Jesus. But it's because when you encounter him like that, you don't want to say no.
Yeah. And you know, Brother Gerald, even though you may not have felt what a lot of people say, a conviction, there was a drawing there.
Oh, absolutely.
And that drawing in itself was a conviction.
It was a setup.
God knew that day. Yes. And isn't it amazing? God knew from that day, from where you was, that even to this day, where you're at right now.
Right. Yeah. Amen. And he made sure nobody come in this house to work but Brother Dave and I.
Yeah.
And, we didn't go to the same church. He was across town, and I was on the west side.
Uh-huh.
And but every once in a while, I just call him up, Brother Dave, I love being saved.
Yeah. Hey, that rhymes. You should make that into a song or something.
I love being saved.
Brother Dave, I love being saved.
Yeah. The book of Acts talks about cleansing.
Uh-huh.
That's what takes place when a person gets saved. You get cleaned up on the inside.
Amen.
Old things, you know, old things are old, and new things are coming out. So that's what I said when I got saved. I just felt clean.
Yeah.
Amen.
And sometimes I have to tell the Lord, Lord, I need to be cleaned again. I need sometimes I just feel dirty. I need to get cleaned up. But
amen.
When you get saved, you feel clean amen. As a newborn baby. You're clean.
Amen.
When you get them cleaned up, you're clean.
Amen. There's a young teenage boy working with me one day, and I've been talking to him about Jesus. And I sent him out the truck to get something. And while he was out there, he prayed. And he come back in, and he told me that he prayed. And he said, I feel so clean.
Praise God.
Yeah. Now you're clean through the Word.
Clean through the Word.
Amen.
Praise God.
Sometimes it feels so good, you want to get saved again, you
know?
Amen.
Yeah, I think about that sometimes. I felt so good. I'd like to get saved again, but you only get saved one time.
Right. But I definitely need that spirit filled again.
Amen.
The guy that got saved up in Taylorsville, he told me, he said, I want to learn about the Holy Ghost. I said, well, nobody told him anything. You know, he goes to a Baptist church. He said, I want to learn about the Holy Ghost. I said, all right, learn.
Amen. Yeah. That was me. If God's got it and he wants me to have it, I want it.
Yeah.
It don't matter what it is. If it's from God, I want it.
And the good news is we can show people. We can, the Holy Ghost operating in us can teach people these things.
Flame
is sparked in them, once they're filled with the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit will teach them throughout their day, throughout their time. So
amen.
You know, I'm thankful for that.
I don't want to live on yesterday's experience.
No.
I want to live on today's experience. And and each day, you know, we should strive to have a new experience with God. Not that you're getting saved again, not that you're getting baptized in the Holy Ghost again. It's a fresh experience where you enter into a place that you know that you've communicated with God, and that you felt His presence there. And that's what I want to do. I want to feel His presence.
Israel had to have fresh manna every day. They couldn't live off of yesterday.
Yeah.
No, they had to have manna today.
And
I've said that for a thousand times about me, you cannot live off yesterday's blessing. You got to have it today.
Amen.
Well, we're at our hard break, so I'm going to go ahead and read that second Friday question, and we'll be back here with some more great discussion. Bible. We have a few Bible questions left too, and if you all have anything else to bring to the table, we'll have 30 minutes to do that before Mr. Bjork gets in here at 8:30. So, according to Matthew, who ordered the guard at Jesus's tomb? According to Matthew, who ordered the guard at Jesus's tomb? 270-257-2689. We will be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio. All right, we are back here after that break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio. Did we get a trivia answer for that, Roger? No. Okay. It's a little bit of a tricky one. Some of the co-hosts in here, we like to talk about these answers over the break because we can't call in and do it, so we might as well talk about it. This one is a little tricky. It might seem like it's one answer, but pay attention to who's giving the orders.
Yes.
So the question is, who ordered the guard at Jesus' tomb? So who's giving that order? For that, so 270-257-2689 is the number you can call in. I'd like to hear from a new listener. I mean, I love hearing from the listeners, get the answers right, that listen all the time, but it's cool hearing a new person listen that we don't really know.
Amen.
And just hearing, oh, there's somebody
Amen.
New just
Amen.
Tuning in and answering
Praise
the Bible question.
Right.
So,
right.
Or kids. I love to, when kids, there's been some times that kids will get excited and find it and call in with the the answers too. So don't.
It's challenging. I like it too.
Yeah.
Oh, I do too. I love it.
Yeah.
It's fun. It is fun. Well, we have some Bible questions here that we didn't get to. So every week, Brother Jason Miller, he gets us some Bible questions. And sometimes others will send in some Bible questions throughout the week as well. But we had a few ones that we did not get to answer. Actually, I think we only had one more, because we did start to get into the salutations. So the question that we kind of left off on is, do the salutations in the epistles have a deeper meaning, or are they simply there to establish authorship? So that was the one we left off with yesterday, and I think we pretty much answered it. You have something for that?
No, I'll wait. Go ahead.
Okay. So we kind of established yesterday that the historical background, knowing who the author is, and we can also see the honor, because Paul he will honor the people. He'll name people and honor them. And so that, I think that can teach us something, as we were talking about earlier with Daniel being a leader. It can kind of teach us how to honor and how to be a leader that's honoring and uplifting other people. And then also just knowing the historical context of who's writing it, I think helps with your study. But other than that, I don't know of any other deeper meaning that the salutations have.
Well, I think, you know, the scripture says, give honor to who honor is due. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of ironic. I was thinking about Paul this week, and I was thinking about all the churches that he established, and had a little thought different than usual. I thought, what if he had a favorite church, you know?
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it, and I thought about it for a while, and I said, I believe it'd be Philippi.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah,
and so I was looking through some material, and it said, I was looking on my iPad, and it said Philippi would probably be one of his favorite church. You know,
uh-huh.
I
had never thought
that.
About that all in that way, but he was at one place, and they communicated with him, you know, and nobody else did, and he commended them on several things that they had did. So I was thinking Philippians, that was probably one that he really had, and he said, I think about you every day when I pray, you know. So it was rewarding to him, I'm sure.
And, right.
But the salutation is important, too. He acknowledges that he didn't write it with his own hand, and he acknowledges somebody else. Give honor to whom honor is due. I don't care how little it is or how big it is. Give that honor.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. And you see in Philippians, too, like the tone that he uses in the writing.
Yeah.
I love reading through Philippians because
I read it again.
It's encouraged. It's like a lot of encouragement. And I mean, Paul's always encouraging, but there's just like joy and there's just a more joyful tone, I feel like, to that book. Would you all agree with that?
I agree.
It's like encouraging. Like I imagine just like cheer. Like he's like cheering Christians.
Well, as soon as he wrote Galatians, he said, who has bewitched you? I mean, first thing you had to say to him was, you've been bewitched, you know.
Right.
And then in Corinthians, where they were having the Lord's Supper and they were getting drunk, and so they were, many of the churches, he had to had to bring some accusations against them right off the bat. But Philippians seems to be one that he was proud of.
Right. One verse in there that I love, and that's Philippians 4:8. Says whatsoever things are good, honest, just, and all that. But right in the middle of that is the word pure.
Uh-huh.
And he said, think on these
things. Think on these things, yeah.
And to me, that's just kind of a guideline for Gerald. whatsoever things are pure.
Yes, think amen.
Don't think on that other stuff.
Right.
That's right.
If it's not pure. I mean, that one little word there just settles it with me.
Yes, it does.
I mean, a good scripture for today, that's for sure.
That's a pretty good guideline or a plumb line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and if we think on him, then it's always going to be pure. So.
Right, amen.
That's a good way, or the word,
you know,
it purifies us.
I feel like it too, you know, when you watch the news on TV, they're always talking about bad, but when you come back to this scripture, it brings you back to what you should be thinking about.
It's the good news.
Those things. It's the good news, you know, and and where God has brought us from, and that we have something forward to look to, you know, and so, yeah, it's exciting.
Amen.
Yeah, that's a good verse to meditate on, that verse.
Amen.
Right. So there's a lot of bad things, and we need to think on the good things.
Oh, yeah.
I watch too much news. I get news logged.
Well, I'm real close to addicted to news.
Me too.
Yeah.
Especially about Israel, Jerusalem.
Yes.
I mean, just like I heard you all talking about Jerusalem on the way here, or after we got here. And what I was looking at this morning at home before I left was Jerusalem in Zechariah 12:3 says it's going to be a troublesome stone to all people. It says it shall cut in peace, and all them that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. You know, I mean, God is going to judge it. But you, on that news, and people that hate the Jew, and they don't even know why they hate the Jew.
No,
I mean, Satan is stirred up. And trying to get the world stirred up, and he is, to a point, not too far in the future. We know at least 7 years from now, at the Battle of Armageddon, when Zechariah 14:4, when God is going to draw all nations against Jerusalem to battle. So, but that right there, I mean, it just shows us really how close it's getting to the end.
Yes.
I mean. You know, we hear so much about the rapture, we kind of lose focus on the Battle of Armageddon when it really the end is coming. And it just boggles my mind to see these young people that a Jew has never done anything to in their life.
Right.
Nothing. And but they hate them.
It's just, it's the culture of the trend.
Yes.
Whatever is out there, you know, and we see the world has kind of conditioned young people since for a while now with Hollywood and media and things like that. So when people who have a lot of influence make a statement on something, whoever is a fan or a follower of that person is going to believe the same thing. People that don't have a firm foundation in Jesus. Because honestly, they're a lot of young people that are lost, their foundation is built on the people that they follow on social media. The people that, because they really, they watch so much TV. I'm speaking from experience, not Jesus was my firm foundation, but when you watch so much TV of a actor, or you scroll so much on social media, you start to feel like you know the people that you're following,
and you
start to almost make that really your idol and your God.
Yes.
And their firm foundation is those people they follow, and that's why they are going to believe whatever they tell them, because that's their idol. And you know, I believe we're really similar to the times of Daniel and the times of, you know, them worshiping these images, because we have images on our phones every day that people worship so much. And I've had to confess and I've had to repent for spending so much time on with, you know, shows and entertainment and things like that. But I know people who truly, like, their favorite music singer, their favorite people like that, they really are worshiping them. And
yes, they are.
And they
believe
that's who they trust. And it doesn't make any sense. It's a deception, because how can you trust somebody you've never met?
Yes.
You know, how can you trust somebody who all you know of them is what you're seeing them put out on a social media. But that's the deception that we're in right now, especially in the younger generations.
You know, watching the news and you see these protests and all these demonstrations going on, I've noticed a lot that you have people who are really not pro, I guess you would say not pro-Palestinian, but they're out there in the middle of that. And so what they don't realize is they're actually supporting that without even knowing that.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And I feel that way with us Christians, that if we don't talk and come against what is wrong,
right,
then we're part of the problem.
Amen. Yeah. You're exactly right. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. That's
preach
true.
Preach it, brother. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That is true.
And people don't understand. I never heard anything mentioned about it, but Israel is not going to be destroyed. I don't care. Hamas or anybody else.
Israel is not going to be destroyed.
Amen.
And I never heard anybody say anything about that. But these people, you're right, the people out there in these protests, they don't even know what they're protesting for.
No.
No.
They ask them questions they don't even know. But they do place herself in a position of being guilty.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely guilty. Yes, absolutely. Sir. Right. Yes, sir.
You know,
yes,
you think sir. About how that Pilate said he washed his hands, you know, from Christ's crucifixion.
Yep.
Hey, he didn't wash his hands from that. He might have thought he did, but he was part of the problem.
Yeah. He washed his hands, but he just washed his hands.
Yeah.
That's right. He didn't actually.
He was still a part of it.
No one could wash him but Jesus.
No. Right. He didn't get a clean conscience.
No, he didn't.
And, you know, my prayer is that, you know, these people that are searching for truth, that are worshiping these things, and they're looking for a firm foundation. They just aren't. They're stumbling. They're like the people in Proverbs. They're stumbling in the dark, and they don't know where they're stumbling. Because they have no light.
That's right.
And
right.
We have to be that light for them so they can see the truth. And once, see, they're never, I think sometimes as Christians we do try to sometimes get really aggravated with the world, and we try to hold them to a higher standard
right.
than what we can. And it is frustrating when it's all you hear about, it's all you see. But the world, the lost people are never going to have a true view of Israel and Palestine until they meet Jesus. They're never going to have a true view until they have a revelation of Jesus. And then they can understand this Bible. Then they can understand, they
right.
can be led by the Spirit. And then we can start teaching them about these things. But
amen.
We have to get Jesus to them.
Yes.
We have to get Jesus to them.
Have to.
Because politics are just, it's just, I'm not saying it's not important. We need Christians in politics.
Amen.
We need
absolutely.
Truth
yes,
in
we
politics.
Do.
Absolutely.
But we have to be focused on the gospel first.
Amen.
And getting Jesus to people, because that's when all this chaos is going
to
start to cease. And speaking of salvation, our last question that we did not get to was 2 Peter 1:10, if we want to turn there. And the question is, once somebody gets there, is... Does 2 Peter 1:10 refute eternal security? So we're going to look at that scripture, and we're going to see what it's saying and if it refutes eternal security. Which, would someone want to, like, really quickly explain eternal security? I don't know if anyone... explanation for
the
people
way I understand what eternal security is, they say that once you've been born again, you can never go to hell. That the Lord forgive your sin before and present and in future sin. But it is so clear... In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin,
yes,
he's talking to Christians,
uh-huh.
and if they're sinning and they're not confessing their sin, that sin is not forgiven. It's not washed away just because they got born again. The Bible is very clear that we are supposed to live a clean, holy life,
yes,
and not sin. The thing about it, before I got born again, I sinned on purpose. Now, I might sin from time to time, get angry, something like that. but I don't sin on purpose.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit convicts me, and I know if I sin, and I need to repent.
Amen.
And I know if I don't, you know, I'm not going to have this close relationship with the Lord. And Hebrews 6 is so clear.
That's where I'm turned right now.
Right. Read it. Yeah.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God.
Right. And read a little more.
Okay. Of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame.
Yes. See, if you're not born again, you do not taste of the good word of God. Anybody that's not been born again has never tasted. And they say that that's for somebody that's lost and never been saved.
Yeah.
That it's impossible to renew. It is so clear. You have to be born again. But he says when they sin enough, it's impossible to renew them, yeah. Right? Isn't that what the scripture says?
Yeah, it said who were once enlightened.
Right.
So that means that they
and
had,
tasted of the good word of God. Man, when I was a sinner, I never tasted the good word of God.
No.
And in Isaiah 14, it says the fool is talking. No, I believe that's 35:8, Isaiah 35:8. The highway of holiness, it says the fool shall not err therein. Gerald couldn't get drunk enough to stumble up on the highway of holiness. You got to get born again. You know, you got to get born again. And then,
well, 2 Peter 1:10, that from the question says, wherefore the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. So I think the question is saying, is this giving diligence to make your calling and election sure, is that basically canceling out the idea that once saved, always saved?
Well,
I think it does in a way. I like how it puts it in the New Living Translation, because it kind of explains it just a little bit better. I love the King James. That's what I normally stick to, but sometimes I go to the other translations. Because it sometimes we don't really get the full meaning of things, and this kind of lays it out a little different. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you're really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fail. Number one, I think when we say that we're going to give diligence into things, that is a hard work. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. He didn't say, I sit back now that I felt some goosebumps and had a little bit, and now I'm done, you know. No, he worked. He pressed. He pushed as hard as he could. So if you want to make your calling sure.
Yes.
As they're talking about on there, you're working daily to live the best that you can.
Amen.
As Brother Gerald said, does it mean we never fail? No.
No.
But I like what it says in 1 John in chapter 1 and in verse 9. It says, in other words, if we do sin, and it's also over in chapter 2 starting in verse 1, but it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and do cleanse from us from all unrighteousness. We say we have not sinned, then we make him a liar,
right.
And his word is not in us. Then right. It goes on in chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things I write unto you. Number one, that you don't sin.
Right.
You don't have permission.
Right.
You don't go out there and do it again.
No, but you
But I like the rest of it. It says, and if any man sin,
yes.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the world.
Amen.
So we know that we need to repent. As you said, Brother Gerald, we need to come back to him, and he's just to forgive us. We don't have to go back and beg and plead and try to get saved again. That's not what he's talking about.
No.
We confess it.
That's
and say, God, forgive me, and then quit doing it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's the big thing, is have that true transformation, that fruit.
Amen.
Well, we had a listener text in, and we have a few minutes left before our break. Well, first they said, we're too busy focused on 30-second videos than 30 seconds with God.
Come on.
Amen.
But then they also said, I have always heard that once our name is put in the book of life, it can't be plucked out. I'm just wondering.
That's not true. Revelation 3:5, is it? No. And... I get people all stirred up whenever I say this. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his holy angel. Where I get people all bent out of shape, I said, if Jesus is not going to blot their name out of the book of life, he's like a woman in the checkout and her kids throwing a fit. And she said, when I get in the parking lot, I'm going to whip you, knowing they're not going to do it. Well, Jesus don't make a stupid statement that he's not going to back up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's threatening to take their name out of the book of life.
Yeah.
And Jesus don't make a stupid statement if he's not going to back it up.
No.
So if you don't do what he says, he's going to take your name out of the book of life.
There's scripture that talks about the blotting out that we can't ignore.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't really know where the teaching came from that our name can never be blotted out, but the word says differently. So
But I think it takes a while.
I mean,
because you sin today, or maybe even for the last month you've been doing something other wrong, doesn't mean God always plucks it out. Does it mean
you need to
ask for forgiveness?
Yes.
But in order for God to turn us over to say, okay, I've blotted you out, it's backsliding takes time.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and Brother Ron, he used to talk about this verse too, and he said that you just sin and sin and sin until you pass the point of no return.
There you go.
I mean, God deals with you and deals with you and deals with you, and there comes a point, he says, you know, that's enough. You went too far.
And the thing about it is, see, it's a heart matter.
Really?
Heart
exactly.
Matter. And I cannot see the heart where God can see the heart.
Right.
So
right.
He knows when your
he knows.
Is far from him. You know?
Amen. Amen.
We don't know.
Amen. So, I mean, that's just like the thief on the cross, right down to the very end.
Come on.
He got it.
We don't want to try him, do we?
No. But also, this is a good, I'll say this, I have to go with the kiddos for chapel, but and then Brother Bjork will be getting on here with Brother Jason at 8:30, but I think we have to be careful too not to, just because we're seeing somebody sinning or backsliding, think that they are at the state of apostasy, because I have seen, like, the Lord put on my heart to pray for, has put on my heart to pray for people that I was starting to get really worried about, and like, oh no, Lord, what if they are? And then I just see complete transformation.
I couldn't
see their heart.
Yeah.
All I could see was their behavior, their sin.
Right.
I couldn't see in their heart. God could see their heart. He knew that there were still things burning inside, or embers inside of them.
That he
just needed that blow of the Holy Spirit.
Oh,
just needed that intercession. Just needed somebody to be obedient and intercede for them, and bam, transformation.
Yes.
Amen.
And there's been other instances like that. It's just, I think as long as people have breath in their lungs, we can still pray for them.
Amen.
And we can still plead God, please do something in them.
Yes.
And God will hear our prayers.
He does.
And I don't really think we're ever going to know where their heart's at.
That's right.
as Christians. I mean, unless the Lord just straight up gives us a word, and I think he could give us a word, but I don't think it's going to be just an everyday normal thing for us to know, okay, that person is in apostasy, you know? And I think we should always have that heart to pray.
Amen.
And see
Amen.
Him work. So,
Amen.
Well, we're at our 8:30 break. Do you all have any last words before...
I don't think it's not for us to know their heart. So
yeah, exactly.
We have one heart to look at. That's ours.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys for coming in. It's been a great morning. Thank you, Roger. And we'll be right back
here after
the break with the Science Corner with Brother Bjork and Mr. Jason.